on the back side of the Dauji Mandir. And over here is Sankarshan Kund. And when we're leaving, you can see over the side, there's a kind of pinkish temple where Dauji used to be worshipped. When the vicious King Aurangzeb came to smash all deities, the deity that was in that temple was placed in Sankarshan Kund. Sometime later, the deity was found, and another temple was built, much grander temple, downstairs, for Dauji. It's a little bit just to get the bearings where we are. If you look at a map of Braja, here's the map of Braja. In the southernmost part of the map of Braja, on the eastern side, is where we are. Go a little bit further, we're not in Braja anymore. So, Dauji is the presiding deity of the southern part of Braja. There were four deities established by the great grandson of Krishna named Vajranab, a great grandson. Krishna had 16,108 queens. One of the sons was Pradyumna. One of Pradyumna's sons was Aniruddha. And one of Aniruddha's sons was Vajranabha. Vajranabha was a contemporary of Maharaj Parikshit. So, when Krishna departed, so also the Pandavas departed. But before the Pandavas departed, Yudhishthir established Maharaj Parikshit as a successor emperor. And one of the first things that Maharaj Parikshit did was he established Vajranabha as the king of Mathura. And one of the things that Vajranabha did was he established a number of deities of Krishna and Balaram and Lord Shiva and other places we'll be visiting. For in the memory of his great-grandfather Krishna. And one of those deities was the deity that we see downstairs, Dauji. We're visiting this as the second place on purpose, just as visiting the place of Radharani, her birthplace was chosen first to seek Radharani's mercy and her blessings and her compassionate nature to help us enter properly into the holy Dham of Vrindavan. Not just like Prabhupada said, you cannot enter Vrindavan simply by buying a ticket. And somebody might say, oh yes we can, every one of us came here to Vrindavan by buying a ticket. But we came to that oil part of Vrindavan, not to the deeper part of Vrindavan, what's beneath. So you can't, by buying a ticket, enter. But by mercy of Srimati Radharani, one can enter. And so we went to Radharani's appearance place first. And we came here second, because we're going to offer another prayer, a very important prayer. Prayer is important. Particular that the consciousness that you're carrying and the expectation, sankalpa, that which you're hoping to achieve through that prayer is also very important. So we've come to the place of Lord Balaram, who is the original spiritual master, And we're going to hear something about him and his glories, and we'll offer certain prayers to him also. So as we heard about the appearance of Radharani, let's hear a little bit about now the appearance of Balaram. There's an intimate connection, long-standing intimate connection between the places of Krishna's pastimes, naturally, Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. As in the spiritual world, those realms exist, and they're non-different, we can say, facsimile, or counterpart, or expansion. Non-different is here. So, similarly, the Yadu dynasty held, just like kings will sometimes have their home or their palace, but they'll have other residences also. Yes? Wealthy people do like that. Krishna does like that. They're just imitating Krishna. So, the Yadu dynasty had its seat in Mathura. And then later, members of the Yadu dynasty took responsibility of ruling their kingdom in Mathura. Then when there was difficulty in Mathura, remember Krishna transported the entire Yadu dynasty to Dwarka. Yes? When Jarasandha and Kaliyavana, those two kings with their huge armies were simultaneously attacking Mathura, Krishna said to Balaram, hold off the armies, I'm going to take the Yadu dynasty for its safety and protection, and with the assistance of Vishvakarma, very quickly, like really quickly, he built Dwarka. And Krishna transported and personally situated all the members of the Yadu dynasty in their residential facilities in Dwarka, and Krishna came back and met in battle Kaliyavana and Jarasandha. Indicating, Prabhupada comments, there is this long-standing relationship between Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan. As there are those same residences or quadrants within Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. I said quadrants, and quadra means four. So there's a fourth place, and that's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resides, or Navadvip. We'll discuss that another time. So, in the Yadu dynasty, one of the great kings, several generations even before Krishna appeared, came to Mathura and made Mathura his capital. And his name was Devamira. And Devamira had a number of sons, the eldest of which was Shurasena. Shurasena had two wives, a Kshatriya wife and a Vaishya wife. From Shurasena were born Vasudev and Queen Kunti. So, from the Vaishya wife, their number of sons were born. The superlative amongst them was Parjanya. Those of you that know your verses in Bhagavad Gita know what Parjanya means. Parjanya has to do with rain. He was given the title the Indra of Vraja, or Vrajendra. Vraja, Indra, the king of Vraja. And Parjanya Maharaj had 5 sons and 2 daughters. And all of the sons and both of the daughters have the name Nanda. their names were Abhinanda, Nanda, Nandana, Sunanda, and the eldest was, where is he? Upananda. Here's Upananda Das over here. So, Vedic culture says that the eldest son becomes the king, succeeding his father. So when it was time, the sons were sufficiently of age and mature and capable of taking the responsibility. Parjanya Maharaj wanted to turn the kingdom over to Upananda. On the very event of the crowning of Upananda, he handed the crown over to Nanda, his younger brother. And there was a brotherly, humble competition. Nanda said, no, no, you're the elder brother. And Upananda said, but you're the more qualified person. Everyone, without exception, yourself included, knows you're the most qualified person. You should become king. And then Nanda said, if I'm the most qualified person, then I must say, then one must respect his elder brother, so you should become king. So you should become king. And Upananda said, just see my very name, Upananda. Upa means coming close to Nanda. So Upananda says, Nanda should become king, so you become king. If I'm the elder brother, you follow my instruction is you become the king. Like this, they went back and forth. So finally it was settled that Nanda Maharaj became king on the order of his elder brother Upananda. And then he accepted the title the Indra of Braja or Brajendra. And thus we have the name, one of the names of Krishna is Brajendra Nandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braja. So as Nanda Maharaj was the king of Braja, he was residing, we heard, previously in Nandagaon, which we will visit, but then being childless, he shifted to Gokul. Gokul is the area where we have been traveling with the bumpy roads. On the east side of the river Jamuna, Gokul Mahavan. Today we're going to visit Mahavan. Mahavan means great van, forest. Gokul Mahavan is the area where we reside. And Parjanya Maharaj accepted this as his kingdom, part of his kingdom. So now the birth of Dauji. We know that Balaram, another name of Balaram, is Rohini Nandana, because Balaram was the son of Rohini. But before Balaram was the son of Rohini, he was within the womb of Devaki. And there's a very important lesson from and function of Balaram being the seventh child of Devaki. Because before the seventh child of Devaki, there were six children that as soon as they were born, wicked Kamsa killed them. Prabhupada explains in Krishna book and also in Chaitanya Charitamrita that these six sons of Devaki indicate the six enemies of the conditioned soul. Six enemies of the conditioned soul. Two of them we discussed already, and we just got started. Envy. When Vindhya wanted to compete with Himalaya, because he was envious of the height of Himalaya and the appreciation and respect that went to the Himalayas. So he was envious. That's one of the enemies of the conditioned soul. And we're going to hear more about some of the other ones, because Krishna very kindly helps to remove those enemies of the conditioned soul. Envy, anger, lust, illusion, madness, pride. These enemies of the conditioned soul were represented, Prabhupada writes, by these six sons of Devaki. And as they were killed by the wicked Kamsa, then came the seventh child of Devaki, who was Balaram, preparing the heart of Devaki, now devoid of these six faults or six enemies, to prepare for Krishna to appear. And Prabhupada explains this, and our acharyas explain it, so this is a very important part of why we've come here. So listen carefully. Balaram, or as the original spiritual master, or all those who performed that service following and on the strength of Balaram's doing so, is to prepare the heart, the function of Balaram, and the function of the spiritual master, is to prepare the heart of a conditioned soul to receive the appearance of Krishna within their heart. Of course, Krishna is already within our heart as the Paramatma. He's within the heart of these monkeys over here that if we don't watch it, they'll do some monkey business. Watch the monkey over there. Balaram prepares the heart of the conditioned soul so they can perceive consciously the presence of Krishna within the heart. Because the soul has that eternal connection with Krishna, but we've forgotten that eternal connection with Krishna. So the function of Balaram and those representing Balaram as spiritual master are to assist the living entity, in this case Devaki, and in our case, whoever we may be, from wherever we may be, to the agency of the representative of Balaram, spiritual master, to prepare the heart to receive full recognition, full consciousness of Krishna. This is a function of the spiritual master, and for that one requires spiritual strength. And therefore, Balaram. Bala means spiritual strength. Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, very early, just as we're discussing this appearance of Balaram. Balaram means spiritual strength, and to execute devotional service, we require spiritual strength. So, we've come here to Dauji Temple to pray to Balaram for the spiritual strength to go beyond, as we discussed earlier today, all of those material conceptions of who we are. Now we have a certain package. Some years ago it was a different package, and before that, and even another lifetime, and next lifetime, and it's ever-changing package of who we think we are, both subtle and gross. Particular nationality or language or culture, and that changes, and that changes, and that changes, and that changes. And here we are, an international group of people that our real identity is spirit souls, not this nationality or that nationality, or this culture or that culture, this language, that language. Although we're using them, it's not our identity. We need spiritual strength. We need spiritual strength to go beyond those limitations and those material conceptions that bind us to our daily routine of illusion and ignorance and affinity for matter. We need spiritual strength. So, deliberately, by design, we've come here to the Dauji Temple to offer our prayers to Balaram for that needed spiritual strength during this parikrama and during the balance of our lifetime to get his mercy in the form of spiritual strength necessary to carry out devotional service in a proper way. So this whole area, the bumpy road area that we've been traveling in, is Gokul Mahavan. We're going to spend the rest of the day in this same area. And it's where Krishna and Balaram performed their early childhood pastimes. And early childhood pastimes are very intimate and very special, so hopefully we can appreciate the sweetness of these pastimes. When you took darshan of the deity, it's hard to see because there's not, the lighting isn't like in our ISKCON temples, but in the left hand of Dauji is a Varuni beverage, because Dauji likes honey. And we'll hear something about that pastime, probably not while we're sitting here in the hot sun. And in his right hand is a small stick for herding cows, very small, called lati. So that's Dauji. And as you're looking at the altar, you can't see from the front side, but if you go over to the right side of the altar and look over in the far front corner on the left side, is a deity of Revati. Revati was the wife of Dauji. And she's over there because when Dauji was in Braja, he wasn't married. He later married when he was in Dwaraka. So she's over in the Dwaraka side. And he's in the Dauji mood over here in the middle. Those of you that have read the ninth canto Srimad Bhagavatam know that Revati was the princess daughter of King Kukudmi during Satya Yuga. And Kukudmi understood, rightly, that his daughter was exceptional. And he couldn't find a qualified husband for his daughter, so he got this bright idea that he would go ask Lord Brahma for a suitable husband for his daughter. So he was very, very powerful king. He went all the way to Brahmaloka. But when he went to Brahmaloka, he didn't have an appointment. Brahma was hearing some wonderful prayers being recited in glorification of the Supreme Lord, so he was told he had to wait. And when the Lord was finished hearing the wonderful prayers glorifying the Lord, Kukudmi came before him, offered his respects, and told his purpose in coming. And Lord Brahma just laughed and laughed and laughed. Said, "Don't you understand about time? While you've been here in the heavenly planets waiting for this katha about the personality of Godhead to finish, so many complete yoga cycles have gone, come and gone, and come and gone. No one is going to even know who you are when you go back. But there's a very qualified person who can marry your daughter, and his name is Balaram. So you return back to the earth planet and say, 'Lord Brahma sent you. I'm King Kukudni. Lord Brahma sent me. My daughter is for your marriage.'" But because she was living in Satya Yuga, her height was very tall. Because in successive yugas, stature becomes less and less. For Balaram, that wasn't a difficulty. He took his plow, placed his plow just over the shoulders of Revati and gave a little yank. She became the right size to marry Balaram. So that's the deity downstairs. And when Vajranav established deities in the four directions, in the southerly direction is Dauji. And in Mathura, he established Keshavaji. That's the very temple where Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, at the Keshavaji temple. And in Govardhan area, he established the Haridev deity. And in Vrindavan, the Gopal deity, sometimes also said the Govinda deity, because the Govinda deity is another one of the three deities that Vajranav established. We hear that something that Prabhupada said, that when the spiritual master gives an instruction, or when Krishna gives an instruction, within the instruction is the capacity to carry out the instruction. Have you heard that one before? How does it work? It works this way. I have understood this from my reading of Sri Brahma Samhita, a very careful reading. There is a potency of the Supreme Lord called His Ichha Shakti. Ichha Shakti is His will. So along with the instruction comes the will of the Supreme Lord, embedded within the instruction. So carrying out an instruction doesn't just mean the mechanical act of doing something. Carrying out an instruction means, or when it's done properly, it includes the understanding that the Lord's will is there. His Ichha Shakti is there. And is there something that can stop the will of the Supreme Lord? Nothing can stop the will of the Supreme Lord. And similarly, if one is functioning as a qualified spiritual master, what the spiritual master says is the same as Krishna speaking. The spiritual master doesn't invent or create something. It's passing on Krishna's instructions. One who's qualified is so transparent. And within the instruction is the qualification to carry out the instruction. The essence is not the activity itself. The essence is the will of the Supreme Lord, and from Krishna's side and from our side, desiring to please Krishna, to act within that relationship of the will of the Supreme Lord. There's enormous transcendental potency within that. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes like this way, same point, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. For one who has implicit faith in Lord Chaitanya, the impossible becomes possible. A blind man can see stars in the sky. A lame man can climb a great mountain. That's very meaningful to me because I had a knee problem and I couldn't even walk up the stairs, what to speak of a great mountain. But one who has faith, implicit faith in Lord Chaitanya, a lame man can climb a great mountain. And a fool can understand the conclusive truths of the Vedas. How? Implicit faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's what we require from our side. And from Krishna's side, he's ready. He has all potencies. Complete. He's not lacking in anything. And with his instruction to us to do something. You know, like, always think of Krishna. Try that one. Manana. Give me something easier to do than manmana. How about, you know, rise early in the morning and chant my 16 rounds and 10 mangalarti, I can do that. But always think of Krishna. Or be attentive when chanting the holy name. There's another nice one. Give me another one that's easier to do, please. That's too difficult. Within the instruction is the strength to carry out the instruction. The capacity to carry it out is there. And Dauji is the place where we can pray to him for that very spiritual strength. He's the original spiritual master. Through the original spiritual master, again, and those representing the original spiritual master, the strength to carry out our service to him, service to Krishna, is there. Within that association, within the instructions we receive. One who has sufficient faith can achieve that. Prabhupada regularly, when speaking about Balaram, would say, they're identical. Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna, and they're identical except color. Krishna is blackish like a monsoon cloud, and Balaram is whitish like a spring cloud. Nice white cloud in the sky in the springtime. There's another difference also, and that's the mood. The mood of Balaram is he wishes to serve Krishna. In fact, Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches us that the original mood of service that's within every living entity, not just human beings, but even our friends, the monkeys and the birds and the trees and everything. The spirit soul's natural propensity to serve Krishna is derived from Balaram. He's very strong in his desire to serve Krishna, so much so that he manifests himself as the entire spiritual world through his unlimited potency. He manifests everything in the spiritual world. And he also manifests through his expanded energies the whole material world. And he holds it up as Ananta Shesh. And he appears in forms of each of the five essential rasas. He loves service. To get the strength of that determination to serve Krishna in all circumstances, despite obstacles and our shortcomings and everything else that's there, we require mercy. But he's very merciful. He's extremely merciful. And I think because it's now almost noon, I think speaking about Balaram's mercy, maybe I should continue this discussion someplace where there's more shade. Because I see you're shading yourselves. Dauji Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gokul Mahavan ki, Vrindavan Dham ki, Gaur Premanandi Haribol.